back here on The Scoop. Final score yesterday, the Seattle Seahawks beat the Vikings 21-7. And here to help us break down that, as well as the news that the Vikings have fired offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, we're joined by AJ
Mansour of KFAN 100.3 FM. AJ, glad to have you on the show today. Unfortunately, the circumstance is not the best, because not only did the Vikings lose, but now they have made a change in offensive coordinators. John DeFilippo is fired.
Yeah, no doubt. Just making changes at this point in the season is never an ideal situation, but I think that judging by the fact that they did make the move, they made it now instead of at the end of the year. They kind of view this as a potential season-saving move. There was just something amiss between Mike Zimmer and John DeFilippo that they couldn't get on the same page. Whether it was restricting from above or not being able to cut it for the position for Flip himself, it just didn't work. And they made the call to cut ties, and now Kevin Stefanski, the quarterback's coach, moves up to offensive coordinator. This was a guy who had some promise and was thought to potentially go take the offensive coordinator position with Pat Shurmur and the New York Giants, but Mike Zimmer blocked that opportunity for him to keep him in-house. So it's up to him now the rest of the way to kind of see if he can please Zimmer, to see if he can get this once high-powered offense jump-started again.
Yeah, looking at what happened last night, the Vikings just 7 points, and that was after 10 points against New England. And it comes at a weird time, because we've talked about this team. Mike Zimmer wants them to run the ball more, and it seemed like they tried it last night, but still didn't really have any success. And then they couldn't get the passing game on track either, and at that point in the game it was too late, and they really weren't able to complete any sort of a comeback.
Yeah, they weren't. This offense has been hampered with predictability. It's been hampered with blandness, if you will, no creativity. It just has been a struggle all year long, and it's tough. You know, this is a situation where you can look at this from any different angle and point the finger at somebody else. You can blame Rick Spielman for not drafting offensive linemen. You can blame the offensive line that is here for not doing their job. You can blame DeFilippo. You can blame Zimmer. You can blame Kirk Cousins. You can blame the special teams. Up and down right now, there's a lot of blame to be passed around. And I think that at the end of the day, the moral of that story is that's never a good situation when everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else and trying to figure out what they can do to save their own butt and help this team turn around. So they couldn't get anything going last night. They couldn't get anything going against the Patriots in the second half last week. It's just been a stagnant offense. And, again, there are things that you can do to combat or protect a bad offensive line. We've seen that in the past. We saw it with Sam Bradford. We saw it with Case Keenum last year. Just play calling and creative outlets can help the quarterback with those problems. It's just a weird situation. Again, never an ideal thing to happen mid-season, never an ideal thing to happen when you're in a playoff race and trying to find your identity as an offense, 15 weeks into the season.
AJ, I have to ask you about one of the more bizarre plays I think any of us have ever seen, as at one point in the game, Kirk Cousins was flushed and was looking for a target. He ended up throwing it to Latavius Murray, who was actually behind him in the pocket, and that really kind of a perfect metaphor for this Vikings offense. But have you ever seen a play like that ever attempted, not only with just the Vikings, but with any other franchise?
No, it was a sheer panic move. Kirk felt the pressure. He got spun around. Maybe he didn't know which direction he was facing. I don't know. I mean, it was weird. He threw it behind him to Latavius. Latavius actually made, I think, a 2-yard gain out of it. Ended up, he had a face mask pulled on that play as well that went uncalled. So it should have actually turned out to be more of a positive play. But even though the yardage was positive, the play was a negative. I mean, it was bad, because obviously that's not how they drew it up. It was a panic decision, and there's a screenshot that's floating around. I don't know if you've seen it on the internet, Twitter, but on that play, there's a screenshot from one of the TV angles that shows Kirk facing backwards, looking at Latavius, and then off in the distance, you can see, I don't remember if it was Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen, one of them, wide open. So there's something going on with Kirk's vision, and I don't know if he's just scared back there because he's been getting hit so often and he's just expecting pressure. But he's not, you know, he's missing some open wide receivers. And it's not like it's a third wide receiver Laquon Treadwell kind of situation. This is Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, and you should know where they are on every single play. Whether they're your first or second read, you should have eyes on them and be able to know if they're going to get open.
Yeah, and you look at the numbers that this defense continues to put up, and they held Seattle to under 300 yards of total offense. They held Russell Wilson to his worst game by far of the season, and yet the offense couldn't do enough, which is a shame because the defense is really starting to round into the shape that we saw them in last year. The offense just hasn't been able to keep up.
Yeah, last night was weird. Statistically, you look at the stat sheet at the end of the game, and it looks like the defense played great. But even when they were out there, it was just had this blah kind of feeling. Take away the Eric Kendricks interception at the end of the first half. Take away, some of the opportunities later in the game. And it's not fair to do that. Obviously, they made those plays. But, you know, those are points that the Seahawks should have had that affect the Vikings in a negative way. They had some big stands on defense after the Vikings offense failed on 4th-and-1 at the goal line. The defense came out and forced the Seahawks to go 3 and out and punt rather quickly. So they played a good game, but it didn't have that same feel. It was just kind of this blah game that it didn't feel like they were dominating. It just felt like they were stopping the other team. And I know that's a weird juxtaposition to throw out there, because both those things are good, but maybe it leaves some room to grow the next couple weeks for them too, and really find their own. And if this change on the offensive side of the ball has any effect on the defensive side, maybe it can just jumpstart everybody across the football.
Yeah, despite the loss last night, the Vikings are still in the playoffs at this point, as the teams behind them, Carolina, Philadelphia, and Washington, have all been in very similar circumstances. So despite not playing their best here at the end of the season, if the Vikings can take care of business here over the next 3 weeks, they can still get into the playoffs.
They certainly could, and I think people are expecting that to be the case. What you need to figure out now is you're going to be facing a Miami team next week that is coming in with a lot of confidence after beating the Patriots. You're going to face a Detroit team who's putting some more guys on the IR. What's that week going to look like? And then you have that Chicago game to end the season that, they might have the division wrapped up by then and rest a bunch of their guys. So it's going to be a weird final three games. But at the same time, this team, all year long, we've talked about, Seth, has struggled to find their identity. Are they a defensive team? Are they a passing team? Are they a run team? Who's their leader? It's been something of a struggle for them all year long, and they have three more games to figure that out, assuming that they have a decent shot to make the playoffs. Because if you get to the playoffs and you haven't figured that out, you're not going to last the first half of the first wild card game. So they need to figure that out. They need to kind of try and hone in on what they're going to do on offense, continue to dominate on defense, and finally put a whole game together. That's been the thing with this team. One facet plays well and the other plays terrible, and it just kind of leaves you feeling with a gross taste in your mouth. So if they can figure that out, if they can figure out where the direction of this team is going towards the end of the season, I think it's the playoffs. And if you're in the playoffs, you have a chip, you have a chair, you have a chance, and you can do some crazy things. Nobody thought the Eagles were going to run the table last year, and look what they did.
Yeah, and the Baltimore Ravens, I know that's been the comparison here today, the popular one, that they fired their offensive coordinator with 3 games left in the year they won the Super Bowl. Now, that might not necessarily be the thing that happens for the Vikings this year. We all hope it is, but AJ, just looking at Kevin Stefanski a little bit, obviously some other coaches on this staff who have had experience as an offensive coordinator. I believe Todd Downing did at one point. Ultimately, what led to them deciding to go with Stefanski? Was it just the continuity that he was with the team last year and kind of knew most of the personnel?
Yeah, you have continuity with just familiarity with the players, with the staff. But at the same time, this Stefanski is one of those guys that is thought among the league to be around the league to be an up-and-comer. He, again, was likely going to get the offensive coordinator job, not just audition for it or interview for it, but he was probably going to get that job with Pat Shurmur in New York, and Zimmer blocked him from doing the interview because they wanted to keep him in-house. So they think highly of him, high enough to, you know, thwart his growth to keep him here. But he did interview for the Vikings offensive coordinator job internally before DeFilippo got it, so they know what he can do. As far as, you know, looking at it from Stefanski's perspective, he would be better suited to fit and sit down with all those coaches that you mentioned that have some offensive coordinating experience and pick their brain. Ultimately, this is his three-game audition, potentially more than that with the playoffs. But you know, he should pick their brains, figure out what maybe some things that they were thinking that weren't going well, some things that he can do better, some things that they learned along the way. Get that intelligence and get that knowledge from those guys who have been there and done that, and then kind of make it into your own. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're hoping for, that he can kind of come in with some of those creative juices that they didn't really get from DeFilippo, and then, you know, stay on the same page with the head coach. I think that's a big thing too. So it's a little early edition tryout for him, and if things go well, you know, who knows, maybe they name him the full-time offensive coordinator in the offseason here.
AJ, looking ahead to this matchup against the Dolphins, you mentioned that for the Dolphins, they're coming off of a huge win against the Patriots on a last second straight up miracle, as they beat the Patriots to kind of keep up in the wild card race, coming into the Midwest, off of the coast and off of a game like that. Is there potential for them to face any sort of a letdown coming off of that high emotional game against New England?
Oh, certainly there is. You know, we remember the letdown that the Vikings had last year with the Minneapolis Miracle. After that, all the stats came out that, you know, all these teams with walk-off victories in the playoffs have never won the next game. And, you know, the emotions and all the interviews that you do during the week talking about that play take away from your focus for preparation for the next week. Now, it's a little different. That was a regular season game. The game last year was a conference or a divisional round playoff game against the Saints. You know, the stakes were a little higher for the Vikings last year, but there certainly is an opportunity for a letdown, and hopefully the Vikings can add to that. They need to come out of the gates firing, you know, put them down. The Vikings look vulnerable right now. So the Miami Dolphins are licking their chops a little bit. They're fighting for their lives, their playoff lives. So get out there, and you need to make a statement early to kind of take them out of it. Otherwise, you're going to, the longer you let the Dolphins, again, the Patriots learned this last week, the longer you keep the Dolphins in this game and allow them to think that they have a chance, something weird like that can happen, and it could cost you the game. So get out early, get your defense going, and put some points on the board so you don't have to play from behind. That's probably the most important thing for the Vikings this coming week.
AJ, any particular content over at KFAN that listeners can check out here, obviously in reaction to this news and leading up to the Dolphins game?
Sure. You know, obviously there's a lot of reaction with the Bobby Wagner play last night. Obviously, DeFilippo getting fired, all that coverage is up there. We're going to talk to Mike Zimmer on a conference call at 4 o'clock here. So you'll get the latest from the head coach and his thoughts on that scenario as well. But we'll continue to kind of watch this as it continues to grow overnight.
Appreciate the time today, AJ. Thanks for joining the show. We'll hope that the Vikings can get back on track so we can talk about a win next week. But regardless, we'll break down everything Vikings related with you again next week.
Sounds good, brother. We'll talk to you then.